Okay, I need your help this morning. I'm going to pass out something. I have a couple of men. George, if you'll grab that side over there. Make sure everybody gets one of those. And Chris, if you'll do that side for me. And we're going to let you start filling this out in just a moment, okay? Won't take too long. We'll just take a couple minutes. If you need a pen, I have some pens up here. Does anybody need a pen? I have a box of them. Okay. There's a pen there. Anybody else with a needing a pen? Everybody has a pen? Everybody good? This is called the bucket list. Does anybody else have a personal bucket list? Okay. Anybody else? These are, if you have heard the term before, actually just some, you write down a list of things that you would like to see happen in your life or things that you would like to do before you kick the bucket. Okay, so this is the bucket list. We're going to give you about 2 minutes and let you check off the ones that you have already done, and then add them up, if you will, and see how many you've done. So Lisa, if you'll give us a little bucket list music, please. One more time through the chorus, and then we'll wrap it. Okay, hopefully you have yours checked, what you've accomplished, and then you've added up your total. So now let's begin, and let's find out, did anybody have 30 and above that they checked? Quite a few, okay. Anybody with 40 and above? Let's go with that. One. Okay. Two. We have two with 40 and above. Three with 40 and above. Anybody 45 and above? No 45s? Going once? Going twice? 45. Chris, how many did you have? 40. What, Cindy? 44. And how many did... Louise, how many did you have? 32. And who else you had? How many? 44? 44? Okay. Anybody else higher than that? Okay, there's no prize. I'm just asking. That's what you're waiting on, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Free gift card or something is what you're waiting on. I actually ended up with 46. Now, some of them are crazy. Some of them are serious. Some of them are just kind of, where in the world did you come up with that, right? That's some of you think when you saw that. The things that impact our lives sometimes are, though, they're the most important that impact us. You know, I could have put on there, do you remember your wedding day? You know, and some of you have been, wow, that impacted my life forever, you know. And you can remember your first job. How many remember their first job? Yeah. And you can remember your first car. Anybody remember their first car? Okay. All those guys raise their hand. Yeah. Your first date? Your first kiss? Oh, yes. Aha. We've got to remember that Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19 says this. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. The people cast off restraint. If we were to say that a different way, actually the message, which is just a paraphrase, puts it this way. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are more blessed. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation from God, I can say it that way, the people perish, is what the King James says, but actually the Hebrew for that is cast off restraint, or they lose all sense of direction. Some people have a long bucket list of this is where I'm going, this is what I want to accomplish, this is what I want to see happen in my life before that time when the Lord calls me home. But a lot of people just kind of randomly kind of go, whatever direction the wind might blow, whatever direction the world might take them. The Bible's very clear. Where there is no vision, where there is no direction from the Lord, the people just go any which way they want to. But the interesting thing, and I think the neat thing that you need to remember about this, is that God lives outside of the limitations of the earth. We are limited to what we can do and what we can't do. But do you know that God has no limits? He has no, oh, I can't accomplish that. I can't go, that can't happen. God never says that. Because with God, all things are possible. He's not limited. And I believe that He wants to navigate His church. I believe that He wants to give revelation. He wants to give vision. He wants to give direction so that we aren't just all going in different directions and doing our own thing and running our own little program. We need a target. We need a vision, or we need to simply dream again. You've heard the old statement, if you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. But isn't it nice to have a target? Here's where I'm going. Here's what I want. Here's what the zero. Here's where the middle. Here's where the bullseye that I want to hit. But the funny thing we need to look at is we need to look at first, what stops us from dreaming? What gets us to the point, or was there some things in our life that get us to the point where we don't have a vision? And we randomly just go different directions. We cast off our restraints. We just lose our sense of direction. What stops us? And I believe the first thing that stops us from having a dream is a wrong view of life. You can pick up the paper. You can look at your smartphone. You can turn on the TV. You can listen to the radio, or you can listen to a podcast, and you can find out this. There's terrorism. The marriage laws have changed, abortion, racism, shootings, terrorism, the election, and on and on and on it could go. And we look and we hear and we see and we go, my goodness, this world is just a mess. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? And we get all frantic and we get all fearful. But when the world goes a different direction, really, there's no need to go, oh no, what are we going to do? And get all scared and all frightened and all timid. We just need to stand strong on God's word and realize that it's all going to be okay. When we study and when we read and when we find in God's word, we know the end. We know the final chapter. And what a time, with all of that going on and all of the things that the world seems to be going in the wrong direction, what an incredible time for the church to stand up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. What a time. I think we just need to keep loving everybody. I saw this statement the other day and I added it because I thought it was really powerful. It says this: you will never look into the eyes of someone God does not love. It doesn't matter where you go, who you see, who you come in contact with. It's at the store. It's at the shopping mall. It's at the DMV line. It's everywhere you go. You'll never look into the eyes of someone that God does not already love. Wouldn't it be great if we would think that way? Yeah, but they're not like me. And they act a whole lot different than what I really think they ought to act. And they talk different. And they live different. And we make excuse after excuse after excuse. But I saw this on one of the social media websites the other day. The Christian music artist Lauren Daigle said this: I think the second we start drawing lines around which people are supposed to be approached and which aren't, we've already completely missed the heart of God. We start saying, I'll take care and love these people. No, not those. No, not them. Now those people, I'll put a question mark. But when we do that, we've already completely missed the heart of God. Because God loves us and you and me and them and the world just like they are. For our minds, that's really, it's hard to fathom love that knows no boundaries. But do you know this? You can fully accept someone without fully approving of everything they do. You can. Now, you might not approve of everything they do. That's fine. I know there's probably a lot of people who don't approve of what I do. But I can accept that person. And I can love that person because God loves that person just like they are. Now, the added part to that is that God loves them just as they are, but he loves them so much he doesn't want them to stay that way. He doesn't want me to stay this way. He wants me to continually be more like him. So I hear you. The world is a mess, and I agree. But God is in control. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. See, God is setting the stage for the church to be salt and to be light. Salt makes you thirsty, doesn't it? When's the last time you lived your life so much as a Christ follower that people were thirsty for what you had? For the way you live and for the way you talk and the way you think. And the world needs to see light. Now, if I was to take this now, and I really didn't make a big difference, did I? It didn't blind you when I struck this lighter. It didn't brighten up the room any brighter. But if I were to take this into a room that is completely dark, where there was no light at all, and then light it, what a difference it would make. A single light. And you are a single light for the Lord. Light shines best in the darkness, doesn't it? But Judah Smith, he's the pastor of City Church in Seattle, Washington, made this statement: we don't need to make our light brighter. We just need to take our light where it's darker. We need to go where Jesus would go, where Jesus would hang out, and around the people that Jesus would hang out with. So we have a wrong view of life. It's a mess. No, it's not. God's in control. God is in control, and he knows what he's doing. We are just told to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and get a right view of life. The second thing I think that helps us, that keeps us from dreaming, is that we have a wrong view of self. Did you look in the mirror this morning? Did you like what you saw? Sometimes, sometimes not. It's back and forth. Sometimes I have to go to the mirror 3 or 4 times. Really? Is that what is there? The thing is, though, you don't know my story, not all of it. And I don't know your story, not all of it. But God knows your story. He knows. And God sees greatness in you that you can't even see yourself. You look and go, oh my goodness. God looks and goes, oh my son that died on a cross and gave his life and his blood for you. It doesn't matter what you've done. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for this church. See, Satan looks back and he sees your mistakes. God looks back and he sees the cross. He sees your sins paid for. So don't see yourself as you see yourself. See yourself as God sees you. It's a completely different way. See, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was old. He's also a liar. Isaac was a daydreamer. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. He was also a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Elijah was suicidal. Sarah laughed at God. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. How about that? Zacchaeus was too small. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than one time. And Lazarus was dead. But God didn't see him that way. He saw them in a totally different way. And if he can use those people, surely he can use you and he can use me to make a difference. Remember Moses? He used every excuse in the book, but God had a plan for him. Moses came with every excuse he could think of. God, I'm not good enough. That's fine. I am. I don't have all the answers. That's okay. I've got all the answers, God says. People won't believe me. It's okay. I'll show them so they can believe in me. I'm a terrible public speaker. I'll find you somebody that can speak for you. I'm not qualified. That's okay. God qualifies the unqualified. So don't follow life's script for you. Follow God's path for you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So don't look at life's script, what everybody has written out for you. This is what he's going to do. This is what he's not going to do. Just follow God's plan. He has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you and to give you hope and a future. We have a wrong view of life. We have a wrong view of self. And another thing that stops us from dreaming is that we have a wrong view of God. A lot of people like to call God the backpack God. Seen all these people wearing backpacks now? And they stuff everything they can in it for when they need it. Do you have that? Yeah, I do. Hang on. I got my backpack right here. Let me look and I'll try to find it. And yeah, here it is. And sometimes we stuff God in our backpack. And when we need him, boy, we pull that backpack off our shoulder and we dig and find, well, there is God right there. I'll use him today. I need him today. Some people have a convenient God. God, when it works out that you are can be a part of my life, when I feel like you need to be a part of my life, then I'll call you. I'll have you be a part. Now, there's some areas of my life that I really don't want you to be a part of. I don't want you to see. I don't want you to know. I don't want to hear a voice. Only when it's convenient for me will I get God in my life. Other people like that, come to my rescue, God. We do our own thing. We go our own way. We've got our own plans. We've got our own direction. We've got our own will and emotion. But when it finally gets down to the end, it's, God, where are you? Where have you been? And it's a come to my rescue, God. But do you know that we serve a powerful God? We serve a mighty God. We serve a nothing is impossible God. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Don't get a wrong view of God, that he's just a convenient God. He's a, when I'm finally in trouble and I'm going down for the third time, God. Or a backpack God. You just stick him in your back pocket or in your backpack, and I'll use him and call on him when I need him. So I believe that we need to stop having a wrong view and start dreaming again. Let's get a right view of life, a right view of ourselves, and a right view of God, and let's start dreaming again. And here's what you need to begin to have God-honoring dreams. First, you need a God dream, and here's what you need to know about a dreaming God. A God dream always seems risky. A God dream always seems risky. There are some people that like just to not take risk, not to step out of the comfort zone, not to go a direct. We've never done that before. I don't know. I'm not too certain about that. You know, a God dream is always, and it always seems risky, because if you're going to follow a God dream, there's no easy way. There's no simple way. Don't you think that if God could have thought up a easier, simpler, more beautiful way to pay for our sins, he would have done it? But he couldn't. He had to send his son to die on a cross for us. There was no easy way. And there's no easy way when we have God-honoring dreams, when he gives us a revelation, a vision, a purpose, a plan, a direction, a vision. There's just no one easy, remember Tiny Tim tiptoe through the tulips? That's not happening in Christian life. God requires from each and every one of us faith. I don't see it. I can't really explain it. I'm just trusting. I'm just putting my faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. So I believe it's time for each and every one of you to take a leap of faith. Step out of the known into the unknown and just trust him. Just put your faith in him. Maybe it's time for you to lead someone to Christ. Maybe it's time for you to do an act of kindness to someone. Somebody that you don't even know, maybe. A simple act of kindness. Maybe it's time to use your gift to serve. What is my gift? Well, maybe we can help you find that out. Maybe it's time to step outside of the normal. Maybe it's time to serve in the nursery. Maybe it's time to invite someone to church. Maybe it's time to attend a Bible study. It's time to take a leap of faith. It's time to realize, if I'm going to dream God dreams, it's going to seem risky sometimes. It's not just going to be a step one, two, three, and it's over. There's going to be some risk. Also, we need to remember, a God-honoring dream requires God involvement. I believe that we need to live life so big that only God could pull it off. If you're doing something and you can accomplish it on your own, it's not a God dream. If you think you can do it by yourself, if you're the one that says, I can handle it, I got it under control, then you're not doing a God-honoring dream. Remember, through our prayer series, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Dream a dream that God has to show up for it to happen. Dream so big that you go, there's no way that this can happen. It's not. Unless God does it. See, what I would like to hear is I'm thankful God showed up because there's no way Willis could have done that. I know him. I don't know him very well, but I know him enough to know there's no way he could have done that. There's no way he could have pulled that off. Have a God dream that involves and requires God to do something that only he can do, because all the glory belongs to him. Don't live life according to your bigness, but according to God's bigness. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's big. That's a God dream. I haven't even asked. I can't even think. But God can do it. If we're going to have God-honoring dreams, if you're going to have God-honoring dreams in your life, if this church is going to have God-honoring dreams, if we're going to have a revelation from God that gets us all on the same path and all towards the same direction, we've got to get rid of a wrong view of our life, of ourself, and of God. And we've got to know that there's going to have to be some risks that are going to take place. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to step out from our comfort zone. And we're going to have to require that God be a part of it. Not just when he's convenient, not just when it's convenient for him, but it's when anything happens. Let's let God receive the glory for it. And let's know that there's no way on earth we could have done it. It had to be God that did it. And next, we need to remember, a God dream changes lives. That's what it's all about. Your life is about impacting other people's lives. There's intersections that happen in your life. People that you cross paths with that I'll never cross paths with. People that you'll come in contact with that I will never come in contact with. And what are you going to do when you cross that person's path? Are you going to impact their life for the Lord? Or is it going to be a missed opportunity that maybe you'll never have again because you didn't take advantage? It's not about your job. It's not about your money, your prestige, your status, how many material things that you have. It's all about impacting other people's lives. See, I've said it, and I'll say it again. There's a spot for you. There's a place for you. There is a plan for you in God's big scheme of life. And when he mapped out this whole eternity, he made a spot. He made a place, he made a purpose, and then he said, I'm going to create Willis and put him right there. Right where I have a purpose, a plan for him. That spot was there, his plan for you was there, and then he created you and put you right in that spot so that you can impact other people's lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, He had His eye on us. He had design on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. You know that God has His eye on you? He does. And He loves you so much that He loves you just like you are. But He wants you to find that spot, that purpose, that plan. And get in and get connected and serve and impact people's lives. There's a man by the name of Francis Drake. Probably none of you, maybe some of you heard him, but not very well known. But he was born in July 13th of 1540. He was an English sea captain, a navigator, and a politician of the Elizabethan era. From 1577 to 1580, Drake carried out the second circumnavigation of the world in a single expedition. In other words, he started one spot, circled all the way around the world, came back to that spot again. He was the second person in 1577, and so for 3 years it took him to travel around the world. He wrote this in his travels: "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore." What a prayer. Not "thank you, Lord," not "bless us, Lord," not "protect us, Lord," not "watch over us, Lord," not "keep us safe, Lord." Lord, disturb us. Disturb us. When we get too well pleased with ourselves, and when our dreams have already come true because we dream so little, and then when we kind of hang close to the shore because we know that's where it's safe. It's time to set out. It's time to set our sails for open water. It's time to dream God dreams. To take some risk. To change and go the direction that God has for you and for us and for this church. It's about your life intersecting with someone else's life. So I'm going to ask you today, are you ready? Are you ready to dream God dreams? Are you going to get a right view of your life, a right view of self, a right view of God? Are you ready to take some risk? Are you ready to make sure that God is the focus and the center and right in the middle of our dream? And that only God can accomplish what He can accomplish in each and every one of our lives. And are you ready to change people's lives? That's what it's all about. It's about your life intersecting with other people that sometimes only you can intersect with. So, if you're ready to dream God dreams, you're ready to take a risk, you're ready to say, I'm going to have God first place focus in everything we do, and I want to do my part in changing people's lives, will you stand to your feet? Will you say, yes, that's me? And I'd like for your heads to be bowed, and I'd like for us to just say this prayer together and ask God to take control. So I'll say, and I'd ask that you would repeat this after me. If you would say, Lord, stir our hearts. Disturb us, Lord. Help us to dream again. Give us a right view of life. A right view of self. And a right view of you, God. Help me to do my part. Use me, Lord. Amen. Now maybe you need to come forward and you just need to get alone with God. Say, God, help me to dream big dreams. God dreams. Or Lord, help me as I intersect with people this week, that I'll have the vision to change people's lives to be more like you. Or maybe you just need to spend some time alone with God, maybe right where you're at. And as we sing, I ask you to do your part.